Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning I've selected two passages, one of the Old Testament, one out of the New, for us to take a look at. Out of the New Testament, first in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus says this, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" And then out of the Old Testament, in the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, some passages about the time that God sent Samuel to select a new king to replace King Saul. Passage reads like this, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.' When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'They're still the youngest,' Jesse answered. 'He is tending the sheep.' Samuel said, 'Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives.' So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. This is the one.' So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." Whenever I go out to eat, whether with Linda, my family, or someone else, I have a routine that those who know me expect me to do, but others with me for the first time may find a bit unusual. At the first opportunity to engage the person who is serving us, usually when providing us a menu or bringing us water, eventually taking our order and bringing the food, I take the opportunity to get to know them a bit by asking as sincerely and directly as possible, "So, when you're not helping us out here like you are now, what else keeps you busy during the week?" Some will respond a bit cautiously, "Who is this guy?" they might wonder inwardly, and respond by saying that they play with their dog or they are always working here, so there's no time for anything else except to sleep. But most will almost immediately sense my sincerity and respond by beginning to share some things going on in their life, school, especially if I'm at home here in Gainesville, our university town, that they're about to graduate, or maybe they have a second or a third job, or they share about their children at home or a parent whom they're caring for through some illness or difficult moment as they get older. Many begin to talk about their hobbies and other interests such as music or art. Someone the other day about the fact that he was a professional wrestler when he wasn't helping us there, or some cause they're passionate about. Often it simply takes another short question about something they've shared to launch them into a host of other things that occupy their days. They begin to trust the conversation and the newly formed relationship with me and start sharing things they're passionate about, things they'd like to see changed and they want to change in the world, things they hope will help others. Sometimes they begin to share difficulties they're going through in their lives at that moment. I never ask them what they do. Even though they might share what they do, I don't want them to feel like that is important or that I'm trying to fit them into some job description or category to be able to put a label on them. The world wants to know, quote, what you do, close quote. The world, even in the sacred settings of church and ministry at times, focuses on what you do, when you do it, and then tries to label you with a title. The world programs us into doing type thinking. It wants to know what. It's how the world describes value to you and to me by what you do. But it's not the standard God uses to determine our value and what we should be about. I remember reading a devotional by Chuck Swindoll years ago entitled Doing Versus Being. In the devotional, reflecting on his high school days in the context of an upcoming class reunion, which caused him to dust off his old high school yearbook, Swindoll noted that he remembered how the students were always asked, "What do you want to do in the next 20 years of your life?" He remembers some of the responses and also read some of the things they had written in the pages of his yearbook, like make $1 million, win All-American honors and play professional football, rob Chase Manhattan Bank and escape to Fiji, marry a rich movie star and live in Beverly Hills, finish med school and practice in Honolulu, sing at the Metropolitan Opera, live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse, and many others. All kinds of goals, some admirable, some questionable, maybe some even crazy or stupid, but all about doing. He went on to suggest that he thinks we were asked the wrong question. What we want to do is not nearly as important as what we want to be and who we want to be and should be. And I agree. Doing is usually connected with a career, a vocation, activity, salary, prestige, positions, and accomplishment, what the world is into. The world is into doing. And if you're doing well, winning in sports, business, politics, for example, the world's your biggest fan. And if you're not doing well, it's your biggest critic. Doing is about success and climbing ladders, about hitting all the rungs and skipping some if you can, anything to get to the top. Then what? Another ladder? A taller ladder? Reaching more and more, trying to find satisfaction? A dear friend, a very successful collegiate coach, said that he would like to tell all those who are into climbing ladders, striving to get to the top as the world defines it, that when they get to what they think is the top, they will learn that what they thought they would find is not there. They'll find it's empty, not enough, it won't satisfy. And they would need to keep climbing and climbing to find more to satisfy that worldly call that they were following of doing and achieving more and more. But being has more to do with intangibles. It causes us to focus on who we are deep inside, how we respond in the face of a need before us, the priorities we choose to follow, the paths we choose to take in life, which demonstrate a heart aligned with God's word and God's will for our lives, and the difference we make in the lives of those we need to lift up in life that are right around us and beyond us. Being starts from within and who we are deep inside. It's why the prophet Samuel was a bit confused when the Lord sent him on a king-picking mission to find a new king for Israel to replace Saul. And he sent him to the house of Jesse and his sons. And after Samuel saw the first son, Eliab, he thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. He said, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse had seven sons passed before Samuel, and Samuel told Jesse, the Lord has not picked any of these. Do you have another? Yes, he's the youngest, but he's out keeping the sheep. At Samuel's insistence, Jesse brought David down from the fields. And after David came before Samuel, the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He saw all of David's brothers, accomplished, strong, bigger, and outwardly appearing king-like, but God rejected them all. Then young David, with a heart to serve God, passed before them, and God said, yes, David is the new king. Younger and smaller in stature, yet with a heart for God. Look inside. Focus on the being things. Let me close with this. A few months ago, while I was in the Delta Sky Club in the Nashville airport waiting for my flight to Atlanta and eventually back home to Gainesville, after a productive and rewarding visit, I remember seeing a father in the same club, apparently a very busy, successful businessman, and his six-year-old daughter was with him, who the dad later affirmed in a conversation had been born with Downs. They were there waiting, as it turned out, for the same flight that I was on to Atlanta. One of the club attendants asked if his daughter would like a Delta Wings pin to wear. And of course she did, and she beamed with pride at the Wings pin now pinned to her blouse. When we asked where they were headed, the dad offered that he had finally taken a break from his busy travel schedule across the nation and world after his bride, the little girl's mother, had shared something with him. A few days earlier, his daughter had told her mother that she really missed her daddy and wanted to go on a trip with him all alone. And sometimes she wanted to fly with him in one of the airplanes he flew in, and also she wanted to go to her favorite place, Chick-fil-A, with her daddy to eat. It made him stop, it made him think, and it made him look within. And so there they were, daddy and daughter together, just the two of them, about to board a plane heading to the Atlanta airport. And when there, they would go to one of the Chick-fil-A restaurants in the airport concourse to eat. And then they would fly home together later that afternoon. Daddy, airplane, Chick-fil-A. His heart was moved from all the doing things that he was in the midst of, simply to being. He got it. He changed. That daddy took a break from a long list of doing things to do something only he could do. And in that moment of looking in and focusing on who he was and who he should be, deep within, he made some forever memories for himself and his precious little girl. A high school reunion, a king, a daddy and a daughter, all beginning to find real meaning in life by looking within. Doing versus being. It seems pretty clear to me, my friends. But more than that, it's real clear to the God who loves you. Look within. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for these dear friends. I ask your blessing on them as they go through this day. I thank you for all that they have done. But Lord, I ask that you would help them to look within, to be all that you created them to be, to continue to grow in that, to focus on the things that matter, and to be all that you call them to be, not to do, but to be. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.